Today's daf is Me'ilah daf Yud Ches. We are holding on the top of daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph at the Mishnah on the top. Again, this entire parak, the fourth parak, which we're about to finish, discusses issues relating to tziruf, different things that are mitzarif with each other. Ha'arla v'kilei akerim, it's start from zeh mzeh. Arla and kilei akerim, they're two totally different isurim, but they're both isurei hana. Arla is a fruit that grows in the first 3 years after planting a tree in Eretz Yisrael, so those fruits are asur bana. Kilei akerim, when grapes are grown near grain, so the produce of both, of the grapes and the grain, are kilei akerem. Mitzar from zeh mzeh, so they could be mitzarif with each other for the isra, for the shir kazayis of achila. Reb Shimon Omer ein mitzarif. Reb Shimon says that they are not mitzarif with each other. So says the Gemara, wait a second. Reb Shimon says they're not mitzarif. Umit sarich Reb Shimon l'tzrufit. Does Reb Shimon even require them to be mitzarif in the first place? Meaning that you'd be in violation of the isra without any tziruf, because of atayin. Reb Shimon Omer kol shuhu l'makos. Reb Shimon holds that you don't need to eat a kazayis in order to get malchus. What do you need the kazayis for? That's for a karban. But in terms of the achiv malchus, you wouldn't even need to eat a kazayis. So why would he even need it to be mitzarif? Mitzarif for what? It's already asur b'kol shu. So tani ain't srichin mitzarif. So yeah, you have to change the words of the Mishnah. The Mishnah should read that according to Rabbi Shimon, not that they're not mitzarif, but that there's no need for them to be mitzarif, because anyway, it's already kol shu l'malkus. So the Tos Yantav raises the kasha on our Mishnah that previously we have learned enough Tezayin a couple of days ago that two Isurim that are Mishnei Shemos are not Mitztarev. So how is it possible that Arla and Kilei Kerem could be Mitztarev with each other? They are Shnei Shemos Shalisser. One is called Arla, one is called Kilei Kerem. They have nothing to do with each other. So if we said previously that two things that are Shnei Shemos cannot be Mitztarev, how could Arla and Kilei Kerem, yes, be Mitztarev? So the Tos Yantav says that you have to say that the Tana of our Mishnah disagrees with the Tana of the Mishnah and Dafta Zayin, and he holds that two Isurim of two different Shemos can be Mitztarev. And he points out that the Rash in Maseches Arla writes that the Mishnah, that our Mishnah is written Bidas Rabbi Meir, where a Meir holds all Isurim are Mitztarev in regards to the Malkus that you get for Achilas Kezayis. Because since the Pasuk says Lo Sochal Kol Toeva, there is a Pasuk that tells us just a very general term in Dvarim Perek Yudal Pasuk Gimel, Lo Sochal Kol Toeva, don't eat any abomination, don't eat anything that you shouldn't eat. So the Torah is Kolel all Isurei Machal into one lav. Any Isur Achila is included in that lav, and therefore they're all Mitztarev. All Isurei Achila are Mitztarev with each other for the Shir Kazayis. That's the Sheet of Rav Meir. That Sheet of Rav Meir is quoted in Maseches Avodah Zarah on Daf Samach Vav, where the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir Minayin Likol Isurei Shabbatorah Shemitzar from Zem Zeh Shnemar L'Sochal Kol Toeva Kol Shel Tiafti Lach Harei U'Bebal Tochal. So that's what our Mishnah must be assuming, that Arla and Kilei Kerem can be mitzarif with each other, because all things can be mitzarif with each other. So Tosus there, Maseches Avodah Zarah, explains that the lav of L'Sochal Kol Toeva is not a lav shebechlalos, because every Isser Meichel has its own pasuk that asers it with its own lav. And there's Malkus, Mikoach, the lav that it says in each one individually. Pasuk L'Sochal Kol Toeva is only megala that they are mitzarif with each other. Lav shebechlalos would be if we learn the Isser or we learn the Malkus for each Isser from the same Pasuk. No, over here we are learning the Isser and the Malkus for each of the Machalos Asurus from their own Pesukim. L'Sochal Kol Toeva just gives a more general statement to tell us that all the Machalos Asurus are mitzvahed with each other. But that's the Chiddush that the Tos Yantav points out, that you have to say that our Mishnah is assuming like Shitas Rabbi Meir. Sfasemes doesn't buy it. Sfasemes says no, there's no reason to say that our Mishnah is being Cholek on the Mishnah we had a few days ago, and that our Mishnah is only going like Rav Meir, who holds that Isurim from Shtei Shemos are Mitztarev. He says, no, L'chol HaDeos, two Isurim from two different Shemos are Mitztarev. It's just that that's only if you get Hasra'a B'Shem Shnehem, meaning if you get Hasra'a for both Shemos of Isur. In that situation, everyone would agree, you get Malkus, so because you have a Shear to to get Malkus for between the two of them. So that would be fine. That would, you definitely get the Malkus. Or if you get Hasra on the shame of the Lav of the Sochel Kultueva, that for sure you'd get Malkus. But the Mishnah previously was talking about where you get Hasra, the person who gave you Hasra was only B'Shem Nevelus. So then you're not going to get Malkus, because Nevelus Be'ma Tmeya is not included in the Isra of Nevelus, and therefore Nevela Behema Tmeya and the Nevela Behema Torah, the Mishnah said, are not mitzvahed with each other because they're Shnei Shemos. Because what did you get Hasra for? You were told, I'm warning you, don't eat Nevela, because if you eat Nevela, you're going to get Malkus. Well, you only half of it had an Isra Nevela. The Nevela Behema Tmeya is an Isra Behema Tmeya. It's not an Isra Nevela. So therefore, it was a technicality in Hasra. It wasn't a fundamental lack of tziruf. There was no fundamental problem in the tziruf. It was a technicality in the Hasra. In the Tshuva's Binyan Tzion, he raises a very interesting conversation that he had. The Tshuva's Binyan Tzion HaChadasha, Simon Pei Gimel, the author of Aruch Liner, the Binyan Tzion writes that when he was very young, he was talking with Rabbi Asher Zal Ben HaShagas Aryeh, the Shagas Aryeh's son, Rav Asher. And Shagas Aryeh's son was very perturbed because he was going through his father's writings, and he found a Tshuva, very long Tshuva, where his father discusses where if someone eats Kilei HaKerem, do you dafka get Malkus if you eat a kazayis of Kilei HaKerem, or even if you eat a kol shehu of Kilei HaKerem, you get Malkus. This whole long tshuva that the Shagas Aryeh discussed, that he said that because the lav of Kilei HaKerem, what's the svar not to say kazayis? Because it never says achila by Kilei HaKerem. Since the Torah never terms it b'lashon achila, it could be that you don't need a kazayis in order to get Malkus. So Rav Asher was very upset by this, because how could it be that his father missed the Beferish Mishnah that says Arla and Kilei HaKerem are mitzvahed with each other, our Mishnah, that his father, the Shagas Aryeh, forgot a Mishnah? Couldn't be. He couldn't believe it, that his father didn't remember Mi'ila Daf Yud Ches. If a person gets, if it were true that you get Malkus on a Kol Shehu of Kilei HaKerem and that you don't need a Kazayis, then what would the Mishnah be talking about being mitzvahed? There's no Tziruf. Anyway, if there's a Kol Shehu of Kilei HaKerem, you get Malkus just for the Kol Shehu Levad, just for the Kol Shehu alone, without any Tziruf. So the Binyan Tzion writes that whenever I think of Mi'ila Daf Yud Ches, I remember this conversation I had with Rabbi Asher where he was very upset. Now the truth is, based on something Sfasema says, it could be the kasha is not a kasha at all. Nafkamina might be, if let's say you have a little bit of Kilei HaKerem mixed in with the majority of Orla, the Rov would be Mevatel, the Miyot Kilei HaKerem, if you hold that Isur Mevatel Mzeze. So it turned out that the Isur of Kilei HaKerem isn't there at all. Meaning, yeah, if you eat a Kol Shehu of Kilei HaKerem alone, you get Malkus, maybe, because it's not an Isra Achila. But our Mishnah is telling us that they're Mitztarif, meaning that you don't say that the Kilei HaKerem is Batel in the Rov Arla, and therefore you didn't do the Yisra of Kilei HaKerem at all. So maybe not such a kasha. But anyway, the Aruch Liner said that he had a different teretz. And maybe you could say that it's not a raya from our Mishnah to the Yisra of the Shagas Aryeh, because if you're going to say that the two Yisurim are mitztarif, so bepashtus you can give Hasra'a on either one of the Yisurim in the Taroves, and it doesn't matter which one is the Rov, which one is the Miut, because each one is mitztarif to the other one to complete the shear of the other one. So even if a guy only ate a mashu of Kilei HaKerem, he'd get Malkus, but Orla, there's no chiv unless he eats a kazayis. And therefore the Mishnah is telling us that if Orla and Kilei HaKerem are mixed together, and the Hasra'a was only for Orla, that you get Malkus for the Orla, for the Isra of Achilas Orla, because Orla you need a kazayis. So, and you're not going to get Malkus with that Hasra'a. So if the Hasra'a was only for the Orla, that's where the din of our Mishnah comes in handy. You're not getting Malkus anyway for the Lamashu of Kilei HaKerem, because that you never got a straw for Kilei HaKerem. You only got a straw for the Orla. Orla, you need a kazayis. So the Chiddush of the Mishnah is, even though it was only, let's say, 90% of a kazayis of Orla, but you had 10% of a kazayis of Kilei HaKerem, that they're mitztarif with each other to make up the full shear of a kazayis. But if the Hasra was only, was for Kilei HaKerem, if the Hasra that they got was for Kilei HaKerem, then ain't a chinami. There would be no nafkamina whether there was Orla mixed with it or you were eating it on its own. If the Hasra was for Kilei HaKerem, and you assume, like this Havamin of the Shagas Aryeh, that Kilei HaKerem is Usur even Bimashu. So the Aruch Liner just adds that even though the Gemara asks on Rabbi Shimon, who holds that every Isser, you only the malchus is even ba'achilas mashu. So what do you need sirah for? So the Gemara asks, what do you need sirah for? Anyway, you're going to get malchus on the mashu. He says, yeah, it's a good kasha according to on Rabbi Shimon, because according to Rabbi Shimon, for Arlo also, you only get malchus on the mashu. So then you should never need sirah, because whichever one you got asrah for, that's when you're going to get malchus for. So on Rabbi Shimon, it's a good kasha. But if you hold like the Tanakama, that for Kilei Akerem, it's a mashuhu, but for Ar, and if you hold like the Tanakama, that you do need a kazayas for Arla, and you hold like the Shagasariya, that for Kilei Akerem, it's a mashuhu, so then there is a nafkamina for the Tziruf, when your Hasra'a is only for the Arla. So he says that he told this to Rav Asher, the Shagasariya's son, and he was very pleased, he was very, very happy. I don't think this tshuva appears in the Shagasariya. Sometimes maybe the Shagasariya didn't, there's a reason he didn't publish it, I don't know, maybe whatever, okay, but anyway, that's a good way to be miyashiv, what Rav Asher found written in the name of his father, written by his father, by the Shagasariya. One last point before we go on. The Gemara Maseches Makos brings a brisa that Rabbi Shimon Omer Kol Shu LaMakos V'Lomer Kazayis Alin Karban. Exactly Rabbi Shimon Shita over here. That whenever we're talking about Macholos Asuros, you don't need to eat a Kazayis in order to get Malkos. What's the point of the Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai that Macholos Asuros are B'Kazayis? That's in regards to a Karban. You're not going to be Chayv a Karban unless you eat a Kazayis. So the Ritva over there in Maseches Makos discusses what's the source, Makos Daf Yud Zayin, what's the source for Rabbi Shimon's Shita. So he says that he was that Rabbeinu Meir Zal gave the Tam for Rabbi Shimon's Shita, because the reason Yechayv Malkos is that since you ate the Isser B'mezid, so then it's considered Achshavei. What's the idea of of Achshavei? That's something that itself maybe doesn't count as a legitimate Machal, as legitimate Machal Sasuros, but in your mind, you're giving it Chashivus, so by a person going out of his way and eating B'mezid in Isser, he's giving it a status of Machal Sasuros. So that Achila makes it Chashav in his eyes, and therefore it's called an Achila, even though it's only a Kolshu. So that's what Rabbi Shimon says, you can get Malkus, not a Korban, but Malkus when you eat Kolshu. Carbon, you're only going to be chayiv if you ate a kazayis. So why carbon? You're only chayiv when you ate a kazayis. Because when do you bring a carbon? When you eat peshogeg. If you ate peshogeg, says the Ritva, well then it was an achshavei. The whole thing was peshogeg. How can you say that you were machshavit by eating it peshogeg? You weren't machshav anything. You weren't paying attention. It was peshogeg. You did it by accident. You weren't even eating it on purpose. So that's why it's not going to be considered achshavei. So The Sfasemis just raises the kasha that the Gemara is going to say, our Gemara seems not like the Ritva, because over here we're talking about where you ate a kazayis of two different Yisurim. So the Gemara asks that according to Rabbi Shimon, you should get Malkos for Achilas Mashuhu. Now if the whole reason that Rabbi Shimon holds that you get Malkos for a Kolshu is because of Achshavei, so that's only, you can only say Achshavei when you ate a Mashuhu. But if you ate a full kazayis, then the reason that it's Chashav is not because of Achshavei. The reason that it would be considered Chashav is because there's a tziruf of the two yisurim. I mean, you ate a full kazayis. It's not achshavei. You actually did a full ma'isa achila. So how can you say that you're machshav the mashu of kilei kerem in the combination? I ate a bowl full of food because I was hungry for a bowl full of food. It wasn't because I thought that little bit of kilei kerem was so chashav that when I ate it, I was machshav it as a real achila. I wasn't machshav it as a real achila. That's why I mixed it together with arla and had to have more than just that. I was never machshav it as a real achila. And yet the Gemara still says that l'shitas Rabbi Shimon, you should get Malkus just for that little bit of Kilei Akerem that's in there. It doesn't make any sense. Why should I get Malkus for that little bit of Kilei Akerem that's in there if the whole Yisod of Rabbi Shimon is that I was Achshavei for that little bit of Kilei Akerem? I was never Machshavit if it's just a tiny bit in a larger amount of food that I've eaten. That's the Kasha of the Sfasemes. The Binyan Tzion writes that maybe it could be Miyashev, that the Svar of the Ritva maybe is different than it sounds. He says you can't really understand the Ritva on its surface. Why? Because if the Ritva means to say that only when you eat it b'mezid, that's when we say achshavei, but when you eat it b'shogeg, there's no achshavei, that doesn't really make any sense. Why, when you eat a small amount b'shogeg, should it not be achshavei? What does b'shogeg mean? Does b'shogeg mean you don't realize that you are eating? No, of course you realize that you are eating, and you know you are willfully putting this food into your mouth. What's b'shogeg? That you don't realize that this is kilei akerem. You don't realize that this is machol sasuros. But why should that take away from the achshavei element? If I'm purposely putting this food into my mouth because I'm hungry, so this for me is food. This for me is something that I'm considering a real eating. So what difference does it make whether I know it's kilei hakerem or I don't know it's kilei hakerem? Achshavei should apply just the same, even for shogeg. And therefore, if Rabbi Shimon holds that you eat a kol shehu to get malchus, you surely need a kol shehu to be chayav a korban. So there's something off with our understanding of this ritva. So says the Binyan Tzion, in that same tshuva, where he had this conversation with Rabbi Asher, the son of the Shagas Aryeh, that same tshuva, he writes that you have to say that what the ritva means is that since for malchus you require asra, you need to be given asra and to be mekabel asra, so Rabbi Shimon holds that when you give an asra not to eat an iser, and you're mekabel asra, and you say, af al pi kein ani osa, that I'm doing it even though I know that it's aser, so the person who's eating it is therefore machshiv the item as an iser, and he's over biad rama. It's as if it's a blatant, willful violation of the Ratzon Hashem, and that's why he gets malchus. But when you do it, it's not achshvei in terms of a maisa achila. It's achshvei in terms of a maisa of merida against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's machshiv this as a legitimate rebellion against the Ribbono Shel Olam. Someone gave him asra, he says, I don't care, I'm doing it anyway. So that's a real rebellion against the Ribbono Shel Olam. But b'shogeg, he never got asra, it was never mekabel asra, so there's no difference whether it was all be'en or it was b'tarovis. Either way, he's not really machshavit, and therefore you're not going to get the malchus, and that you're not going to be chayv the karban. Okay. So that's the point. So says the Binyan Tzion, that answers the Sfasemis' kasha, that it doesn't make a difference whether it's be'en or whether it's b'taroves when you say that even if it's a little bit of kilei hakerem in a big taroves, and someone warns you don't eat that, there's kilei hakerem in there, and you say I don't care, I'm going to violate the Yisr anyway. So then you're machshiv that little bit of kilei hakerem as a rebellion against Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's not about being machshiv it as a maisa achila. You're eating kazayis anyway. So it doesn't need any being machshav as a ma'isa achila. No, you're being machshav as a ma'isa of rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, says the Mishnah Vayter. Next Mishnah. Ha-beged va'asak, ha-sak va'or, ha-or va'amapitz, kulam misar from zemzeh, all different types of cloths that all have different shiurim for how large they have to be in order to be makabel tuma. A beged is 3 etzbos by 3 etzbos. Sak is way bigger. 4 tfachim by 4 tfachim. So they could be mitzarif with each other to make the shear for Kabbalah's tumah. Now, what does it mean to be mitzarif with each other? Let's say I have 2 etzbos by 2 etzbos of beged, and then another etzba by an etzba of sak. So that's going to be mitzarif to consider it like a beged of 3 etzbos by 3 etzbos. No, that for sure not. You're not going to be mitzarif l'chumra. You're going to have to be mitzarif to the more kal one, meaning the one that requires a larger amount in order to make the shear. So let's say you have 3.5 tfachim by 3.5 tfachim of sak, and then you're mashlim the shear of 4 by 4 tfachim with beged, which normally beged in even smaller amounts would make it right to be mekabel tuma. So that's mitzarif to the shear of dalet al dalet tfachim. They'll always be mitzarif to a shear that's going to make it to a more kal shear, not to a more chamur shear. That's what the mefarish says over here by each step of the mishnah. So they're all mitzarif with each other. I'm Rabbi Shimon Matam. What's the reason that they're mitzarif with each other? Because they're all ra'oi to be mitamei b'moshav, meaning there is one type of tumah that they're equal on, and that is the tumas moshav. And since they all have the same shear for tumas moshav, they could all be mitzarif with each other. Tana kitza mikulan va'asa mehen beged, the Shidim Gratzis takes away the shlosha. So kitza mikulan, if you cut from all of them and you make a beged, the mishkav shlosha, for lying down on, if it's 3 tfachim. L'moshav tefach, if it's just for sitting on, a single tefach. That would be enough to give it a chashivas of a beged to be mekabel the tumah. La'achiza kol shehu, but if you're just using it la'achiza to grab onto, then a kol shehu would be considered a beged. So what does that mean, la'achiza? My la'achiza. What does la'achiza mean? Gemara says two possibilities. Amrei shlakish am rabbianai, shekem omed l'navla. That it's omed to be used for weaving. V'masnisa, meaning when they would weave, so they would sometimes use some protective things like band-aids around their fingers to protect their fingers from getting cut by the threads. So that's the kind of beged, like a band-aid kind of beged to put around to protect from getting cut by the threads. Masnisa tana hol v'roy l'kotze te'enim, that they would use it for the kotze te'enim, people who would cut figs. Well, why would the kotze te'enim need a little bit of protection? So says the Mefarish, last Mefarish in the Perek, hol v'roy l'kotze te'enim shek she mechatchin es ha-te'enim korchen beged kol duhu al yedeyem shlo yislach l'chu bedvash ha-te'enim hilkoch mechabal tuma. Not to protect them from getting cut, but to protect them from the stickiness of the honey from the te'enim, the juices of the figs that come out when they're picking the te'enim. So the whatever it is, it's a tiny little beged, a small little beged that they would put on the on their fingers to protect their fingers. So that's that shear is enough to is even a kol shu, these different types of begadim k'mim mitzarif. Hadron lachachim mizbeach. Okay, now we begin the fifth parak of Maseches Me'ilah. Says the Mishnah, Hanena min ahegdish shavu pruta. This is actually a very fundamental Mishnah in Me'ilah, right? This could have just as well been the first Mishnah in Maseches Me'ilah. If a person gets hana from Hegdish, Shavar Pruta's worth, Afal Pishalo Pagam, Mal Devarabi Akiva. Even though you didn't devalue the Hegdish at all, you just used it, but it didn't devalue it in any way, that is still a violation of Me'ilah according to Rabbi Akiva. V'cham Momrim, Cham say no. It depends on the type of item. If it's the type of item that generally is devalued, that generally there's, what's the word? It's not devalued. That we, depreciates, right. Generally depreciates over time. If there's if it's the type of item that generally depreciates over time, so then you haven't violated Me'ilah unless you've depreciated the item. But if it's an item that doesn't generally depreciate, so then once you get any hanah from it, even though it didn't depreciate, it's still a violation of Me'ilah because that's the way this item is used. It's not supposed to depreciate, it retains its value. Kate said, what's an example of each, of something that depreciates, something that doesn't depreciate? Nasna katla b'tzavara. You take a necklace, put it around her neck. Taba'as biyada. You take a ring and put it on a woman's finger. Shasa b'kos shel zahav, or you drink out of a golden goblet. So then you get hana. It's a violation of Me'ilah, even though you didn't depreciate it at all, because these things don't depreciate. Gold keeps just going up and up and up. It doesn't go down in value. But lavash b'chaluk, but you wear a jacket, a shirt, kasa b'talus, you cover yourself in the talus, bika b'kar, right? These things, they don't last. I mean, the clothing gets worn out. They just found the Tcheles people were just in DRS the other day. They said one of the biggest finds they found in an archaeological thing, they found a 2,000-year-old beged that was dyed with Murex trunculus blue. So that's a raya that they were able to. One of the tainas on the Murex was that people probably didn't know how to dye it blue. They only knew how to dye it purple because it was a big find to figure out how to make it dye blue, exposing it to the sunlight at just the right time. So there were archaeological rayas that they were using murex for dyeing, but there were no rayas that they knew how to dye it blue. So they found this 2,000-year-old beged. They did a chemical analysis of it, and they saw that the dye was murex blue. So what was the big find? Why couldn't they find other begadim? Because it's not that the dye wouldn't be there anymore, the beged wouldn't be there anymore. The beged wears out and completely disappears. This happened to have been frozen. It was frozen for 2,000 years. Mm-hmm. So they were able to find. So begadim wear out. It doesn't take 2,000 years. Mm-hmm. Begadim wear out. A cheap suit will wear out in a couple of years, right? So bika bekardim, expensive suit will wear out in a couple of years, actually. Very fine material will wear out even quicker. Bika bekardim, if you chop something with an axe, so loma alachivkom. In all these things, in all these cases, it's only going to be Me'ilah when it's pogame, because in all these cases, these are things that tend to depreciate over time. Hanena min achatos kshichaya lomal lachivkom. If a person gets hana from a chatos while it's alive, he doesn't violate Me'ilah until he's pogame it. Kshimesa kivin shenena ma'al. But when it's dead, then as soon as he gets any sort of hana, it's already a violation of Me'ilah. So says the Gemara, Tana moda Rabbi Akiva lechachamim bedavar sheyesh bo pegam. Rabbi Akiva would be moda to the chachamim that if it's something that generally depreciates, you're not going to violate Mi'ilah unless it depreciates, unless you depreciate it. Just getting Hanah from it is not going to be enough to violate Mi'ilah. Says the Gemara, well, wait a second, if Rabbi Akiva is molded to the Chacham by something that generally depreciates, and the Chacham say that if it's something that generally doesn't depreciate, you don't need to be poking it, so then B'maika Miflugi, what are they arguing about? They both say the same exact thing. They both hold something that generally depreciates, you only violate Mi'ilah if you depreciate it, and something that doesn't depreciate, you don't violate, you violate Mi'ilah even without depreciating it. So what's the machlokas? Samarava b'levush mitzi'a umilmala. The machlokas is by a levush mitzi'a, by a middle garment and by a milmala. What is a middle garment? What does that mean? So says Tosos. Tosos quotes both shitas about what levush mitzi'a means. He says pirush levush and tsa'i la'afuke el yonushu pogim yosem idai v'chein atachton samach lebasar pogim harbe. Meaning the two garments that are pogim the most are the upper garment, the outer garment, which is exposed to the elements, is exposed to the outside, and the bottom garment, which is exposed to the skin. But you have a middle garment that's exposed to neither the skin. If a person wears an undershirt and then tzitzis and then a shirt, so the tzitzis garment is not exposed to anything, so that's the one that's not going to get worn out very quickly at all. It's eno pogim aval lizman merubahu pogim. Takes a long time. So that's the machlok shabri kivin the rabbanu. Baha pligi. The rabbanu tzari kivin de lekame pogim davar shiesh po pegamhu. The Rabban will say, since over time it will be pogum, so that's called the davar sheyesh bo pegam, and you're only going to violate Mi'ilah if you were actually pogim it. Rabbi Kiva says, no, it's not pogim immediately. Anything that doesn't become pogum immediately is something that's ein bo pegam. So that's one pshat and what levush mitzia. You know, we'll stick with that pshat. What about the other one, milmala? What does that mean? So Rashi, the Mefarish over here, says milmala means a beged shel pishtan, a very fine flax linen beged that the Gemara says in Gittin, it's so fine that if you were to fold up a whole beged, you could fold it up to the size of a nut. That's how thin the material is. So it's very expensive, and because it's very expensive, you would only wear it pam b'shana, Rashi says, o pam mayim, maybe twice a year, and you protect it a lot that it shouldn't become pogum. So it's not pogum ad zman meruba, not because of the nature of the material. It's not pogum ad zman meruba because you never wear it. You keep it locked up in your closet without touching it at all, except for once or twice a year. So that's where Rabbi Kiva holds, since it's something that's not pogum immediately, even though it will become pogum lachar zman, so that's then you don't need to be pogum in order to violate Mi'ilah. Whereas the Chum would say, no, it's something that does become pogum, and therefore you would need to depreciate it in order to be in violation of Mi'ilah. Period. Tan Rabbanus. Now we're Bryson. Nefesh, Echad Yachad Vechla Nasi Vechla Mashiach. Nefesh tells us, no matter who you are, the Nefesh that it says by Mi'ilah, all of them can be subject to the Yisra Mi'ilah, no matter who you are. They could be the Kohen HaMashuach, the Nasi, doesn't make a difference. Kisimol Ma'al, meaning the carbon is going to be the same. For some things, the carbon is different depending who you are. It's all going to be the same violation, the same carbon. Kisimol Ma'al, Pasuk says Kisimol Ma'al, Ein Ma'al Elashinui. Ma'al means that you changed it in some way. We have a similar use of the term Mi'ilah to be a change of some way, that a woman drinks from the Mei Sota after rebelling against her husband, or vayimalu belkei avosehem vayuznu achrei abalim. So in all these cases where we use the term meila, so these cases are all shinoi of some sort. Yachal pagam v'lo nene, onene v'lo pagam. I might think that if you depreciated it but didn't get any anah from it, or got anah from it but it didn't depreciate at all, ube mechuba lekarka, or the anah was from something that was attached to the ground, ube shliach sha'aso shlichuso, or that the person who did the mi'ila was doing it as a shlichus, meaning you sent somebody to do the mi'ila for you, tamalomar, I might think that in all these cases it would be your violation of Mi'ilah. Tamlomer v'chata, nemer chet v'truma v'nemer chet b'mi'ilah. So that's why it says v'chata, to teach us that we relate the halachos of truma to the halachos of mi'ilah in the following way. Machet ha'amur b'truma, just like by violation of truma. Pogem v'nehene, what's the sin of truma? Zar who eats truma has been pogem the truma, he depreciated it, he devalued it entirely, he ate it, and he's nehene, he got hanah from the truma. Umisha pagam nehene, and the same guy that was pogim it is the same guy that got the anah. Ubedover shapogim bo nehene, and the same item that he was pogim, he was also nehene. It's not that he was pogim something a half a pruta and nehene from something else a half a pruta. No, he was pogim and nehene the same item itself. Upikimaso v'anah so keechad, and both the pagam and the anah happened simultaneous to each other. It's not that he devalues it in the morning and then his nehene from it. In the evening or the next day or whatever. No, it all happens at the same time. Ubetalishman akarka, and truma by definition is something that's talishman akarka, because you can't take trumas on something that's still mechuber lakarka. It hasn't reached the goren yet. It hasn't gotten to the point of the chiyuv of trumas and maestras. The chiyuv of trumas and maestras only kicks in not just when it's mechuber lekarka, but when it's nigmar malachta, when you already finished, you already had a gemar malacha, is the chiyuv kicks in. Only really when it's roa pnei abayis is it going to be, is the isra of snacking from it, from the tevel, taken away. It only becomes real tevel at a much later stage. So it has to obviously be talish min hakarka. U'b'shliach sha'aso shlichuso. And when a person is tore midas the balabayis, is made a shliach to take the truma midas the balabayis, so then the truma counts as real truma. So the same is true by meila avcheta amar b'meila. So too by meila pogame v'nehene. You only violate meila if the person was pogame the hegdish and got hana from the hegdish. Umisha pogam nehene, and the same guy that what was pogame is also the same guy that got the hana. Ubedover shapogame bo nehene, and it's the same item that he was pogame is the same item that he gets the hana from. Upikimasov hana sokechad, and it all happens at the same time. Not where you pogame a pruta now and you get hana of a pruta the next day. Ubetalish minakarka, and it has to be that you were nehene from hegdish from something that's not attached to the ground. Ubishliach shasa shlichuso, that you're doing the shliach of the balabais, that the balabais is ma'al, not the shliach, meaning because he's working on behalf of the balabais. Normally we would say ein shliach ledvar avera. This is an exception to that rule. Typically speaking, ein shliach ledvar avera. I send you to go get me'ila for me. So then you're the one that violates the avera. I'm not the one. You shouldn't listen. Devir rav devir talmud devir mishamim. Why would you listen to me and not listen to the Ribbono Shel Olam? This seems to be one of the exceptions. We're learning from truma that just like by truma shlichus works midas the balabais, so by me'ila shlichus also works midas the balabais. If I'm not mistaken, I think this is one of the exceptions that the Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin to the concept of ein shliach l'dvar avera. So ein li ela ochel nena b'davar shein bo pegam minayin. So from this, I only see if you eat from the comparison to truma. I only learned that if you eat it, how do I know that if you get hana'a by something that's ein bo pegam, something that normally doesn't appreciate, let's say I get hana'a from the golden goblet, the Mishnah said, I take a golden goblet that belongs to Hegdish and I use it, so it's not pogim it at all, but it's not something that's ever meant to be pogum. So how do I know that that's a violation of mitla as well? Or achilaso, v'achilas chavero, or let's say I eat half of a pruta worth, and I feed my friend the other half of a pruta worth, meaning I take the full pruta worth away from the Beis HaMikdash, and I only get hana, I only eat half a pruta worth, and I feed my friend the other half. Or hana yasov hanas chavero, I take hana of a half a pruta for myself, and I give hana of a half a pruta to my friend. Or hana yasov achilas chavero, I get hana of a half a pruta, and I feed a half a pruta to my friend. Achilasov hana yas chavero, I eat a half a pruta worth, and I give hana of a half a pruta worth to my friend. How do I know from Sarfim says I feel his man Maruba Minayin? How do I know that could all combine with each other and even for his man Maruba? So we just ask for sources for three things: that A, Davar Shein Bo Pegam, that there's Mi'ila; number two, that you could be Mitzarif my half of Pruta's worth of Hana with my friend's half of Pruta's worth of Hana, or any combination of Hana and Achila; and that it's Afilu Lizman Maruba. So Tamalomar, Timol Mal, Mikol Makom. That's what Pasuk says. Timol Mal teaches me Mikol Makom, across the board. It's all a violation of Mi'ila. Says the Gemara, Ima Chet HaOmer B'Truma. Wait, if you're going to learn it from Truma, so by Chet, that it says by Truma, Lot Sirev Shtei Achilos Ke'echad. So two Achilos cannot be Mitztarif with each other. Av Chet HaOmer B'Mi'ila, Lot Sirev Shtei Achilos Ke'echad. So we should say that by meaning, let's say by Truma, you'd have half a Gezayis in the morning, then half a Gezayis at night, or half a Gezayis today, half a Gezayis tomorrow. They're not Mitztarif with each other. So by Mi'ila, we should say the same thing. So we're still stuck. How do I know that if you eat a little bit today and a little bit tomorrow, so even if it's a long time away from each other, that's mitzari for the violation of a shavu pruta's worth of mi'ila? Tamil Omer, Tamil Mal, Mikol Makom. No, that's what Tamil Mal tells me, that Mikol Makom, across the board. Ima Chet Omer Betruma, Pegimaso Vanaso Ke'echad, Minayin Lachiloso Vachilis Chavero, Vafil Mikan Nachol Shana Minayin. So by Truma, the Pegima and the Hana'a come at the same time. How do I know that Achiloso and Achilas Chavero, that if I eat a half a pruta worth and I feed my friend a half a pruta worth, even 3 years apart from each other, that that's also going to be Mitzarif? Tamil Omer, Timul Mal, Mikol Makom. That's what the Pasuk says, Timul Mal, Mikol Makom, that it works completely across the board. Now, we said by Truma that the violation is only Betolosh Min HaKarka, and Rashi says, yeah, because Truma is only Nog Betolosh. It says, Reishis Degancha, that it becomes the Kri. The Avnei Nezer, just we'll close with this, the Avnei Nezer in Yerodeus, in Tav Lamed Zayin, quotes from Harav HaGadol Ma'oz Megadol Pe'er HaDor Kisar Torah Moreinu Harav Yaakov Landau Ha'av Bezim Kadosh Nashelsk. I don't know, I never heard of him, but Avnei Nezer was obviously very impressed with him, where he asked the Kasha that it's Shaykh by Bikurim, that Bikurim are going to be Mechubi Lekarko. According to the Rambam, who holds that the Chiv Bikurim is Chal and Peros, as soon as it's Ries Pnei Abayis, that means when it comes to Yerushalayim, Lefnim and Achoma. So how could it be possible, therefore, it's possible to be Mafresh Bikurim from an Ilan that's Omeid B'Yerushalayim B'Mechubi Lekarko. And we're taking it as a Davar Pasha, that Truma, and Bikurim is a type of Truma, we mentioned recently, Bikurim is a type of Truma, and yet we're saying that Truma is never Shaykh Mechubel Karka, but by Bikurim, if you have a tree in Yerushalayim, it is Shaykh Bikurim by Mechubel Karka. So the Avnei says, don't see any Kasha, because Marba Makaba says that Ein Notim Ginos Pardesim by Yerushalayim. You can't have fruit trees growing in Yerushalayim, so you're never going to have Bikurim in Yerushalayim. What if you do? Okay, so then you got to give other Terutzim. Okay, he has other Terutzim, but we're out of time. Okay. Sure.